Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Networking Diva Hour radio show, always live, always heard worldwide.
Hello, listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Networking Diva Hour today, and always a special thanks to the new listeners out there. Welcome. I'm your host, Janice Carlson, for the next hour and every Friday morning here live on Blog Talk Radio. We are so happy each week to bring this program to you and give many tips on the do's and don'ts, from networking, current events, to being the best that you can be, and all business information in between. We hope to guide you to success and to help put your best foot forward professionally, financially, and effectively. We look forward to your emails, your chats, your posts, your tweets. You can reach us in the chat room or send me an email at host@thenetworkingdivahour.com, and we will answer your questions to the best of our ability and help lead you to success. I say to you every week, if you're always networking, when are you working your business? So grab a latte and sit back and enjoy the show.
And I have another quote in reference to today's topic, which is, why is it important to have high self-esteem? And it's from Golden Meir. And she had stated, trust yourself. Create the kind of self that you will be happy to live with all your life. Make the most of yourself by fanning the tiny inner sparks of possibility into flames of achievement. So thank you for that. And it was appropriate for today's topic, which, like I said, is why is it important to have high self-esteem. And my special guest today is Dame Clarissa Burt. And she is an internationally acclaimed, award-winning media personality and so much more. And she's going to discuss today the self-esteem regime. But, you know, I always like to start my show. And thank you once again for last week, our 10th anniversary on live radio, and the calls that came in. And I apologize again. There were so many more that I couldn't take at all. We didn't have the time and the hour frame that we had, but I got some great, wonderful emails and texts congratulating us from right down to Jake Skidford from Shield 616. He was trying to get through, and he is such a busy man. And Kathy Bilkis, your tax lady, accounting services. Unfortunately, she had a personal medical problem, not herself, but in her immediate family, and she could not get to a phone from the hospital. But she also sends her congratulations. And like I said, she's a believer. She was with me for 10 years and so many more that texted me and congratulated us for being on the air, from many guests to many past sponsors. And I thank you again for a wonderful, wonderful anniversary show last week. But we are back to business, and September is not only our 10th anniversary month, but it's also the National Suicide Prevention Association anniversary month, and September 10th is their anniversary date. And we have always done shows in reference to suicide prevention, mental health over the years, and we want to continue that for the time we have left, which is until December 29th. And then I retire. But until then, I appreciate you listening and hearing from some of the new podcasts and hopefully some live shows that are coming out there again. But I want to thank my current sponsors right now, and they are Kathy Bilkus, your tax lady, accounting services, the Center of Gratitude radio show with Dr. Johnny Bergstrom out of Jupiter, Florida, Shield 616, protecting our protectors, the Colorado Springs Over 50.com, and I just want to make a few announcements before we get into what Entrepreneur Magazine sent us in reference to self-esteem. And as we've been advertising for a while now, and it's this month, September 30th, Special Kids, Special Families, 12th Annual Night of Comedy. And the theme is Western, Boots, Buckles, and Chuckles at the Boot Barn on Bass Pro Drive in Colorado Springs. If you're here or if you're visiting, this is something you don't want to miss. It's from 5:30 p.m. till 9, and the admission includes buffet-style dinner, drink tickets, cash bar, silent auction, live comedy performance by comedian ventriloquist Greg Clayson, and online registration is required at www.specialkidsspecialfamily.com, and that's SKSF, abbreviated, colorado.org. Again, SKSF, colorado.org. So get your tickets now for a wonderful night of comedy, a wonderful night, date night, and the food is great, and I am sad that I am missing this for the first time in a very long time because I'll be out of state. So, you know, I'm going to give away those two tickets that I have to a lucky callers, to two lucky callers, that all they have to do is email me at host@thenetworkingdivahour.com, and they can say why they would like to go, and it supports Special Kids, Special Families, Zach's Place, and you can get a ticket and bring a guest and register for a guest ticket, or maybe you can win a couple's ticket. And but I also want you to go into the Facebook page of Special Kids, Special Families, and tell them why you like the programs that they are offering. And it is very important right now because the government wants to cut funding for Medicaid students and all the programs. So please, please, please support this. It's very important. And the other announcement I have, it's for October 5th from 12 to 1 at the Doubletree Hotel on East Cheyenne Mountain Boulevard. And it's the 2023 Fostering Community Luncheon. And I know several of you have been there before. And we really would like you to, it's free, ladies and gentlemen. Just get some friends, go support that luncheon. And all we ask is that you make some kind of a donation. It's not the Not So Little Things fundraiser luncheon to support the mission of Fostering Hope. And just, you know, I tell everybody at least leave a donation to cover the cost of your free lunch. It's a great lunch from salad to dessert, and it's a wonderful networking event, and the entire city likes to come out. So definitely put that on your calendar, October 5th, 12 to 1. You can check in at 11:30. So thank you, Fostering Hope, for offering that to the Colorado Springs area. And hopefully I will see you there. Hopefully I'll be back. And we would have a great time. I always do. And all the people that have come in the past, I hope you definitely go again. Well, we're going to talk a little bit today about why it's so important to have high self-esteem. And again, my guest will be on shortly. But I got some wonderful information that was sent to me. And we're going to talk a little bit about self-esteem and why depression, while depression is a mental health condition that impacts the mind and body, self-esteem describes the way you think and feel about yourself. Additionally, some people have more stable self-esteem than others, while others' feelings about themselves are more mood and life event reactive and more prone to plummet. Remember, whether your self-esteem is high or low, it is influenced by the many factors that make you. You, some of which are in your control, some are not. Ultimately, what matters most is what you focus on from many factors and how much grace and compassion you afford yourself with regard to the things you're less thrilled about. Whether you realize it or not, your self-esteem is the picture you paint of yourself. The parts of you that choose to emphasize, essentially as famed naturalist philosopher Henry David Thoreau once said, the question is not what you look at, but what you see. So why is high self-esteem so important, you ask? According to the American Psychological Association, having high self-esteem is the key to positive mental health and well-being. High self-esteem is good because it helps you develop coping skills, handle adversity, and put the negative into perspective. If you have a higher self-concept, you also don't tend to put your undue focus, blame, self-doubt, hopelessness, or weight on the parts you aren't happy about. You're also better able to cope with stress, anxiety, and pressure, whether from school, work, home, or peers. Rather than feeling hopeless, stuck, or unworthy due to any perceived failings, a person with high self-esteem is more likely to look for what they can change or improve upon. If struggling with a project at work, for example, someone with high self-esteem might ask a supervisor for help coming up with solutions versus berating themselves for being ineffective at their job. Conversely, someone with low self-esteem is more likely to become entrenched in negative feelings about themselves. In fact, research shows that feeling positive and respectful about yourself, particularly as a child, goes a long way in helping you adapt and adjust to the challenges of life. A healthy self-concept and self-respect can enable you to realize that it is not the end of the world if something goes wrong. Someone rejects you, you make a mistake, or you might have some faults. So think about that. You know, there are so many people that I know, including a few in my own family, that have such low self-esteem, and I can't understand at all why. They're perfect in every way, and I'm not being prejudiced because they're my family. I mean it. They have everything going for them. They're smart. They're intelligent. They're handsome. They're beautiful. And yet they look in the mirror and they see a failure. And they don't see how really beautiful they are inside and out. And that is a terrible way to live. And people do take advantage of people like that. So what is self-esteem exactly? In order to have high self-esteem, it's important to understand what self-esteem really is. Self-esteem is giving respect and admiration to yourself. The American Psychological Association defines self-esteem as the degree to which the qualities and characteristics contained in one's self-concept are perceived to be positive. High self-esteem is not just liking yourself, but generally affording yourself love, value, dignity, and respect too. Positive self-esteem also means believing in your capability to learn, to achieve, and contribute to the world, and autonomy to do things on your own. It means you think your ideas, feelings, and opinions have worth. Yes. In other words, self-esteem is how you feel about yourself, as I mentioned, inside and out. In comparison, what you think about and value in yourself and how you relate to others. It's also related to how you feel others view you, treat you, and value you. This is why those in abusive situations or have experienced trauma, particularly as children, are more likely to suffer from low self-esteem concurrently and in the future as a result. Self-esteem isn't dependent entirely on one thing to set off thoughts. It's a person's self-esteem made up on your view of all the things that define you as a person, including your personality, accomplishments, talents, capabilities, background, experiences, relationships, and physical body, as well as how you perceive others see you. Each person may put a particular emphasis on certain areas that impact self-esteem, such as putting extra importance on your looks, relationship status, talents, or professional accomplishments, or lack thereof, when forming your self-esteem image and how you feel about it. So, in short, self-esteem versus depression, note, too, that low self-esteem is not the same, and I repeat, is not the same as depression. While the two concepts overlap, low self-esteem is considered a risk factor for depression rather than being the same thing. So that's just a little bit about self-esteem, and I'm sure you'll hear more from our wonderful guests today. And also she'll talk about her self-esteem regime. And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you often, you don't have to scurry to get pen and paper to take notes on our wonderful guest. Wonderful things about Blog Talk Radio, even though this is a live show, once it's done, you can go into the same link that we advertised or go into blogtalkradio.com/thenetworkingdivahour and look at any of our past shows over the 10 years. By date, by topic, by favorite guest. And you can sit back, replay it over and over, take your notes. But we ask you one thing. We ask you to copy that link and share it with a friend or someone or a colleague that might need to hear what they might have missed on that particular show. And then you could post it on your website. The year of 2013, when we won the National Suicide Prevention Award, they put my show on their website for a while because we talked about the 13 reasons why and why not to glorify suicide amongst teens. And we've talked about it a lot over the years. So do that. Take time, if you have nothing to do, turn that boob tube off and turn your computer on to, you know, radio, internet radio, and go into Blog Talk Radio, thenetworkingdivahour.com, or just Blog Talk Radio, The Networking Diva Hour. It'll pull it up, and you can go into shows on demand. And I'm so proud of that because I have more people listening on demand than live sometimes because we're on such an odd hour when people are at work. So remember that. And we're going to take a short break to advertise some of these wonderful sponsors that we have. I gave you the announcements, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Dame Clarissa Burt and all her accomplishments and what she will present to you today. So if you have questions for her today, remember, we can only take a few because we want to hear from her. But she will give you information how to contact her directly if you have questions we might have missed. And you can do those questions by emailing host@thenetworkingdivahour.com, or you can go into the chat room. But it's so much easier if you email so my assistants can pull out the questions in reference to what she might be talking about at that time. So grab a latte, an iced tea, whatever. Sit back, listen to our wonderful sponsors, and then we'll be back shortly with our wonderful guest. I'm your host, Janice Carlson, and we will be right back.
Do you often find yourself struggling to find the joy in every day? Would you like to feel as good as you know you should? The daily struggle to find joy and happiness is shared by hundreds of millions of people around the world, and you don't have to be among them any longer. Hi, I'm the gratitude doctor, Johnny Bergstrom. For years, I struggled to find the joy that I knew I should feel, and after years of heartache and unhappiness, I treated my life with gratitude, and gratitude changed everything. I can coach you to heal your life with gratitude. Find the Center of Gratitude radio show and the Gratitude Doctor podcast, and in 15 minutes or less, you'll be well on your way to that joyful feeling with gratitude.
ColoradoSpringsOver50.com is a newly designed online member directory for businesses and organizations that provide products and services for the over 50 population. The directory features your own marketing landing page, electronic business card, event postings, member page, activity analysis, and more. So text the word CSOver50, that is CSOVER50, to 72727. And visit our website to see other features and benefits. Stop by online today at ColoradoSpringsOver50.com or text to receive our electronic business card. Colorado Springs Over 50, the best is yet to come.
Accounting can be one of the most time-consuming aspects of operating a small business, but it is paramount to the success of your business, especially since 2021. The work can be extremely overwhelming for business owners who lack the time, knowledge, and skills to properly handle their accounts. Your Tax Lady LLC Accounting Service utilizes their knowledge and experience to professionally handle your small business accounting needs. They are also equipped to remotely handle most small business needs nationwide and welcome you to contact them for a consultation. Your Tax Lady, Kathy Bilkis, is an enrolled agent and America's tax expert working for you for over 40-plus years. Call your tax lady today at 719-548-4924 or online at taxladyllc.com. Your tax lady continues to check your bottom line so the government still doesn't get it all.
Shield 616 is a nonprofit 501c3 that was formed to help get local officers safer gear protection against rifle threats. We put together an armor package that was designed by street cops for the street cops. This armor package can be rapidly deployed to give the officer better protection and the gear needed to handle a potential active shooter situation. Shield 616 actively seeks local citizens, families, businesses, churches, and foundations who would be willing to financially support a local officer in your state to donate the armor to. The full armor package costs $1,400 per officer. However, you can donate any amount and still have the opportunity to get to know the officer you donated to. Let's break down the barrier that exists between local law enforcement and citizens. We're also asking the donors to act as an encouraging support person for the officer that they are sponsoring. This gives local citizens the opportunity to have a potential life-saving impact on a local officer and the opportunity to personally get to know his or her family and be able to pray for them specifically. With all the violence happening around the country, now more than ever, your local law enforcement needs your help and support. Make your potentially life-saving donation now. Go to shield616.org to donate, and you can request an officer or deputy right in your own area. Let us help protect our first responders that protect us.
Jack seasoning is a classic Midwest flavor used for all things bland that needs just a little shake to bring out the goodness. Their unique flavor is subtle, not hot or exotic. From meats, vegetables, and eggs to Bloody Marys, this three-generation-old blend gives the satisfying feeling of home. Jack seasoning will make you a grill master, too. Shake once for flavor, twice for extreme, and three times for crazy. Visit our website at Jack, that's J-A-K, seasoning.com, to order and see recipes. Jack seasoning turns a cook into a chef with one shake.
Hi, I'm Dr. Johnny Bergstrom from the Center of Gratitude. As a personal metaphysical coach, I work with folks all over the world to heal their hearts, mend their minds, and strengthen their spirits with gratitude. And I can help you do the same. Tune into my show, The Gratitude Doctor, right here on Blog Talk Radio, anytime you need a boost. For more information, visit thegratitudedoctor.org.
Mountain Vapor Lounge in beautiful Woodland Park, Colorado carries certified pure therapeutic grade essential oils and a variety of premium CBD products. They also have products that are either isolate, broad, or full spectrum CBD, along with tinctures, edibles, and bath and body for you to try. Call 719-888-9523 today to speak with their wellness advocate. They truly care about your wellness and will take the time to help find the right product for you. Check them out today at mountainvaporlounge.com and also on Facebook. Mountain Vapor Lounge, more than a vape shop.
Now back to the Networking Diva Hour with your host, Janice Carlson.
Welcome back, listeners. Thank you for taking a few moments to listen to some of our sponsors. Well, we haven't connected yet with Dame Clarissa Burt. I know sometimes people get confused with a different time change, so we are going to try to call and see if we can get through to her. And hopefully we will, because this is one guest we did not want to miss, because we are booked to the end of the year, and it is important that we have our guest come on when we are scheduled. So I'm hoping that everything is good, and I believe she's coming on now. So let us talk a little bit about her before we connect, and that is Dame Clarissa Burt. She is an international acclaimed award-winning media personality, producer, director, writer, author, public speaker, and former supermodel, and the winner of the Celebrity Survivor Show. With hundreds of television and film credits to her name, this is who's who of international and American women, brings over 35 years of entertainment industry experience in both international and American markets. Clarissa is the founder and CEO of In the Limelight Media, a multimedia platform consisting of TV, video, a podcast, and digital magazine. Her shows can be seen on Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, etc. And her podcast is heard on 15 different distribution platforms. My goodness, I'm running out of steam. She was the first American to present Russian TV at the Kremlin and had two private audiences with Pope John Paul II honoring her social work. Special mention, in June of 2022, Clarissa was knighted by the Royal Order of Constantine the Great and St. Helen, joining the ranks of 350 Danes worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome this honored guest, Dame Clarissa Burt. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Well, good morning to you, Janice. Good morning with a thousand apologies. And I will tell you that I'm a little annoyed right now with Siri because, you know, when you said MDT, right, for I live in Phoenix. And remember that Phoenix never changes time. So when you say MDT, I triple check it. I quadruple check the time. And I checked it 400 times today, and I took a screenshot so that if anybody asked a question, you would know that I checked it. And it said you and I were on the same time. So please forgive me. I'm sure you're an hour ahead of me at this point. I'm never late, and I'm sorry to you and your listeners for being this late.
Oh, that's
so
fine.
Here we are.
We listened to some more of our sponsors, and then we were going to try to give you a call, but I seen your call came in, so we didn't have to do that.
Thank
no problem.
You so much.
Thank
you.
We are so grateful that you have taken your very busy time to be on our show today. Our audience is ecstatic to have you on and to present the self-esteem regime. And then we'll take a few questions as they come in. So please tell us how you came up with this first.
Well, you know, Janice, over the years, as a child especially, you know, I was looking up to those women as we do in our lifetime, right? Our mothers, for example. My mother never wanted her picture taken, couldn't have her picture taken, just came out horribly in pictures, you know. She couldn't have her picture taken to save her life. And I thought, well, that's kind of funny. You know, she's beautiful to me. I think she looks great in pictures. My grandmother wanted to lose weight in the world. She didn't need to lose an ounce, but wanted to lose weight. So she took two diet pills, choked on them, perforated her esophagus, and wound up 6 weeks in the hospital. So I'm looking at my grandmother, and I'm thinking, and I'm 8, 9 years old. So I'm looking at these lovely women in my life thinking, where's the disconnect? Like, what is it? Why is it that I perceive them in a certain way and they perceive themselves completely differently, right? So that, fast forward, obviously, then we go through, again, what we learn from our familiar tribe. We learn things from our peers. We learn as we go from our educational institutions. We learn from our faith. There are many different things that form us along the way. And so as I was sort of getting out of the house as a young adult and moving into the world, I started to model. And as I was modeling, I had a career that was a wonderful, wonderful career and so much fun. And these girls, some of them, of the girls that I encountered along the way, most would say were some of the most beautiful creatures on the planet. And they, too, were having these issues with anorexia, bulimia, toxic relationships, drugs, alcohol, not all, but there were some that I would look at and think to myself, gee whiz, they have everything. Where's that disconnect? So I tried to figure out what it was, you know, between my mother in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and my grandmother, and the girls that I'm traveling with all over the world. And obviously it was a lack of happy, healthy self-esteem. It was something that was never taught, or something that, you know, back in the day in 1958, when I was born, we didn't talk about personal development and that sort of thing. And mom came out of 12 years of the Catholic nuns. So, there wasn't much talk about self-improvement, self-esteem, personal development, and the like. So I was really adamant very early on that I wanted to do, I wanted to be everybody's rah-rah session. I wanted to be their cheerleaders. I wanted to make sure that they saw what other people saw, and that they needed to learn how to do it for themselves, how to have great perception of themselves. And that's where really the trigger for the book came along. That's where the genesis was.
Hmm. Wow. That relates to everybody, I'm sure. I was talking about that earlier when we did our part about that I myself know so many people with such low self-esteem, especially when it comes to their bodies or their talent or their profession. And we have one question coming in that I'd like you to answer that kind of addresses that. And it's from Joyce A. from Bend, Oregon. And she's asking, if someone you love struggles with low self-esteem, what are some of the concepts to consider?
Yeah, I think one of the first things that you have to do is, you know, have that nice, easy, it's a very soft and easy talk. And I, you know, I had it with my mom as well. You know, what is it that, you know, where do you feel disconnect? Do you feel unhappy, first of all? Where are the things that, you know, you can sort of see in them that you know that they're not living their greatest, to their fullest potential? And that's where you want to start to have that conversation with them. Usually we're having these conversations with girls that are in their teen years, maybe in their 20s. And then life will teach you as you go. You know, if you're not fixing yourself by the time you're in your teens, your 20s, if you're not doing the self-esteem work, if you're not doing the personal development work, life is going to teach you and you will learn the hard way. One of the most important things that you can share with them is for them to have the tools in the shed that, you know, we need at any given time. And usually those tools are the courses, the classes, the books, groups. You know, today with the internet, we have the world is really at our fingertips, and we can find the help with much more ease than I was able to, and certainly my mother or my grandmother were able to.
Right.
So when I started back in the day, you know, it was searching. We're still searching for answers, by the way. And I think that's just going to be something. It's just a humankind kind of thing. I would, you know, when we had wall books, we had Borders books and Barnes and Noble. The first thing that I would, the only thing that I would go into those bookstores for was the self-help section. And it was a teeny little section, Janice, all the way in the back of the store.
Yeah.
And you really had to look for it. But when you got there, if you were lucky, there were a good 40 to 50 books, and you could choose from there. Now, as I'm proud, so proud to say that my book, The Self-Esteem Regime, it's been in Barnes & Noble for the last year and a half, year and three quarters. You know, it's rows upon rows upon rows of personal development education. And so we are so lucky to be able to walk into Barnes & Noble now, go on to Amazon and find so many books in the personal development section that have to do with, you know, being a better person tomorrow than you are today, with, you know, finding those tools that you need that I say in the shed, the things that are going to shore you up when life comes along. I use the analogy of the storm that comes through, right? Here comes a hurricane, here's a tornado. You know, we get ready for it. Sometimes we can get ready for it. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen. And that's the life trigger. And then, boom, you find yourself with, you know, some difficulty getting away from that storm, or, you know, batten down the hatches, if you will. It's really difficult to know when. So my point is that, you know, if you have the tools in the shed, you know, once that storm has gone through, you might have lost a leaf or two. You possibly have lost a branch. But you're not going to be uprooted with the storm and transported away. When you have the tools that you need to know that, you know, you love yourself, you are taking care of yourself, you are self-aware, you are self-confident, and you're self-reliable.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take one more question before we go on to another talking point. It's from Fran D. from San Diego, California. And she stated, anxiety about looks and low body confidence hold far too many girls back from fulfilling their potential. It's a damaging pattern that needs to stop. Bringing workshops to young people in schools and social groups should be available. What do you suggest to bring attention to this?
Well, first of all, it is a great question. And one of the most important things that we have to instill in our youth, it is difficult because young girls especially are so impressionable. And there's always going to be a prettier girl, isn't there? You're always going to find somebody that the boys like better. Or, I mean, I remember when I was in high school. It seems this is the one thing that is, you know, it just seems to never really change in it very much. The one thing
right.
that we have to remind each other of is a couple of different things. First of all, social media has a huge factor in all of this, but I'll get to that in a second. The one thing that we want everyone to understand, especially all young girls, is the grass is always greener. Is the grass always greener on the other side? Or is the grass always greener where we water it? So, and from that comes a couple of different things. We never have an idea what somebody else's shoes, you know, we haven't walked in their shoes. We don't know what they're going through. She could be the prettiest girl in school and be going through some really difficult times at home. Right, you don't know what people are going
right.
through. I found that, you know, as I grew up, I found my best friends were going through super difficult times at home, but we never talked about it then. One of the most important things, as we are right now in September, which is self-improvement month, is mm-hmm. to remember that is the grass really greener on the other side, or is it greener where we water it? Is the grass really greener on the other side, or is it AstroTurf?
Ooh.
Meaning, is it fake? Is it the perception that others want you to have of them? And therein lies the issue with social media. We have to be constantly reminded, and the Dove Self-Esteem Project, if anyone wants to help out their young girls, write that down. The Dove Self-Esteem Project does amazing work for young girls in about 11, 12, 13, teenage years. And bringing to light the importance of, you know, being you and being proud of being you and not comparing yourself ever to anyone else. You know, the only person you need to compare yourself to is the person you were yesterday. And as long as you are growing, being a better person you were today, and, allowing yourself, to enjoy your past because it's yours, it's unique. How lucky you are to get to be you. You know, whether you're looking in the mirror and you're not exactly loving the way you're looking right now. I didn't love the way I looked when I was 12, 13 either. You know, I mean, there were certain attributes that, you grow into as you grow and as you become an adult. So, you know, I know that they want to go, we put the devices in their hands that have made them grow up a lot faster than you and I did, Janice. And so that therein lies one of the conundrums, is that everything is so immediate, it's so now, it's so I want it in this instant, that we have to, also tell them that, growth takes time. It's one of those kind of things that, you have to put work into that growth. It doesn't, it just doesn't happen. So get the books into their hands, get the devices out of their hands, make sure you're spending the quality time with them. And I'm not a parent. I want everyone to know I am not a parent, but I have been mother to many. And what I will say about that is it's really important to get devices, televisions, all the devices out, and find that half an hour a day. And what my clarion call is to get everybody back to the dinner table. If you're not at the dinner table, what does it really take to eat a meal? Are we talking sitting down for 20 minutes? Really, truly. You know, the entire thing, maybe get them involved in helping you prepare or get them involved in helping you clean up, just to spend that time together and without. And then weekends, obviously, I know parents are busy, and I'm not a parent, so I can't, but I would advocate for getting back, first of all, getting back to the dinner table.
Right. That's a big one.
Yeah. You've got to be able to spend some time with these kids and understand. Look, I understand also. They don't want to be talking to you. They want to be on their device. And when you say, how was your day at school, they go, good. That's kind of it.
Fine.
It's fine. Fine. So, again, you as the adult are the one that needs to say, come sit with me a few minutes. Come hug. No, let's snuggle. Let's hug. Let's talk. Let's, give me a little bit more than fine. What happened, And just, maybe if you give a few more prompts. I know that every situation is different, and children are difficult. Kids are difficult, especially these days, apparently, very, really challenging. So it's going to take a lot of courage, a lot of patience on your part and courage. You know, one of the things that I think would be a really great idea is to get my book and both of you read it, especially if you're dealing with little, you know, with younger girls. Read it chapter at a time and then discuss. Read chapter one, discuss. Chapter one is release. What do we need to release? Chapter number two is rebuild. What are we rebuilding? And no matter where we are in life, we've always got something we need to let go of and something that we need to be building. That third chapter is responsibility. So where are we taking responsibility for our lives and where are we not? You know, where are we shirking responsibility? And by the way, these are not conversations that in today's day and age, 13 and 14-year-olds should have responsibility that goes, you know, beyond just going to school every day. Responsibility with maybe some chores. I think that's another really important thing that, you know, being students around the house. Everybody has to have a chore or a few. I did. I don't know about anybody else, but I had plenty of them that I had to do. And I'm, you know, now looking back on it, I thought my mom was being, you know, really unkind and unfair. And today, it I understand that they were just more building blocks as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about generational trauma.
Yeah. So that's another really important thing that we need to take into consideration. That is all of the different generations that came before us, mom and dad. So you have to take a look at how was my father brought up and how was my mother brought up and what comes from that. So my mother came from a very patriarchal, you know, her father, 16 kids, Irish Catholic. So you can imagine between the Irish, the Catholic, and 16 kids, it was a pretty severe kind of situation. And we're talking about in the 1950s when things were completely different and children were brought up in a whole different way. And so it was very severe. So you can imagine that my mother could finally break free. She was not going to be pushed around by a man. My father was the complete reverse. My father came from a very matriarchal household where she was the boss and she was the ruler, and his father had was a softer man, if you will, a lovely man, but just there was no contest when it came to my paternal grandmother. So when he got out of the house, there was no way there was a woman going to tell him what to do. Well, they got together. And my mother, my mother graduated high school in June, and by August, she was pregnant with me. Mm-hmm. Not a good idea, because back in the day, they were not married. You know, back in 1958, Catholic girls, so immediate black sheep, you know, and they had to get married. And so you can imagine what kind of turmoil happened, you know, when the two of them got together. So the children that they had were brought up, they were reared in a very angry, it was an angry household, it was a yelling household, it was a violent household. And so, you know, my point being, and you'll see it in the book, is the toxic stops here. Okay, so if I didn't want to do the work on myself or didn't realize that I had to do the work on myself, then I would be passing that on to children that I may have or to relationships in my life. And believe me, in my early years, when I first got out of the natal home, that is exactly, I thought everything was yelling and screaming and that's how you got your way, until I found out that the world didn't work that way. There was a whole different way of being, and it was you could take some deep breaths and just really enjoy your life, and it was a learning moment for me, and it's something that, you know, I really look. And by the way, when I say all of these things, you never go back for, you know, Christmas and you're not home for Thanksgiving dinner. All of those things you need to learn to navigate, and learn with emotional intelligence. You learn not to let the old things or the things from the past trigger you anymore. Mm. I love you, Mom. You love them where they're at.
Yeah.
You love them where you're at. As you move on, as you grow, into, you know, what's now serving you best in your life, they may never change. Some of them might get a little angry and get their nose out of joint because you are moving on in a whole different way than the way you were taught, and they may not understand it. That's okay.
Right.
Don't let them trigger you. You know, stay again.
Let's take a question on that, Clarissa, because you're answering it as I see this question, but I want to acknowledge that this is the question. Mm-hmm. It's from Lisa
right.
W. from Mesa, Arizona, and
oh,
she's
okay.
stating, is it true that children of trauma survivors must be willing to work through their family's trauma in order to help break the cycle?
Well, you're going to work through yours. You cannot be worried about working through everyone else's, and that's what I've just kind of touched upon. So, you know, I was able to work in a whole different way. So I knew that for many different reasons, my father had to be cut out of my life, and he was many, many years ago. Now, I forgive my father, but there are certain things that you never forget. And there also is, you know, the question you ask yourself is, can I allow that energy to be a part of my life moving forward? Would that energy, you know, the energy that I lived as a child, if I were to allow that to perpetuate in my life, would that serve my greater good? And I don't mean you need to cut everybody out. This from my situation was a rather drastic situation. So it was one that there was no gray matter. The answer was going to be yes. My mother and I never got along well either. We just didn't really jive. We did our best, but we didn't really jive until recently. And that was when my mother was in a bad car accident last year, and I was her only caregiver. I think it was a way for us to see each other more in a different way, in a different light, and as women as opposed to as a mother and a daughter. So there are always, as I said, there are those times in life and there are things in life that will present that you, because you have done the work on yourself, those tools are in the shed. You've read the books, you've done the classes, courses, whatever it is you may need. That's on you to decide. But what I will say is that, you know, when you stay flexible and in the flow, and you really do try to love more than hate, when you really do, when I said, release, first chapter, probably the hardest work you'll ever do is to release your hurt and understand what I said before, you have to love them. Well, you don't have to love them, but I choose to love them, parents, ex-husbands, whoever hurt you, you must learn to love them where they are at. Don't put expectations on them. Don't expect them to be anything different than they are. Work on you because that is your sacred duty. It's your sacred duty to come to life with your value system. My value system to the lovely lady in Mesa and to you, Janice, and everyone listening is I take the high road. High being an acronym for honesty, integrity, gratitude, and honor. Honesty, imagine living in a world where everybody was honest. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh, gosh.
Wouldn't that be a love? You know, can you imagine? So if I, as part of my life's blueprint, commit to radical honesty with myself and with others, I know that I'm doing my sacred duty. If I, if I come with integrity into every relationship that I encounter along the way, I am living my sacred duty. Gratitude, that's easy. I say drop and give me 10. If you can't go and give me 10 things right away that you're grateful for, go back to the drawing board and commit those to memory because those are really important things. And believe me, we're living through some very challenging times, but many, many of us have so much to be grateful for. And then the last one is honor. And honor is usually something that we think of in a military term. Honor is really, who are you when no one else is in the room? Honor is how do you treat someone that can't do anything for you? Think about that.
Yeah.
How do you treat people? How do you treat the person you know they can't do anything? They can't do anything for you. Are you calculated in the moves that you make in relationships? Because that's going to be called out immediately. I'm only going to be her friend because she's, whatever. I don't even know how that works because it's not how I track. But again, look, I'm not perfect, and I am a human being, and I do, you know, I falter as well. But I do bring a very, very strong sense of who I am, and I bring a blueprint that I wake up, I will die on that hill, Janice. I will die on that hill. So it's that important in life. And by the way, so say, oh, how do you get self-esteem? That's how you get it. I will die on that hill because I know it's for my greater good, and it's for the greater good of anyone that I will encounter forever. Now, again, life is difficult. People are difficult. Sometimes we get frustrated. We're all dealing with a little bit of, with a heavier way of being in these last years, right? It's a little bit of a heavier vibe than we may have been used to 5, 6, 7 years ago, right? But still, we have to be able to, you know, get the work done every day that we've got to do on ourselves. People say, oh, I don't have the time. Make the time. You've got the time to get your hair done, the time to get your manicure and pedicure done. You've got the time to get the dog to the vet. You've got the time to do everything else. Please commit to your own self-care, because your physical self-care is also mental self-care many times. And so, you know, we are, according to our, in April, our attorney general came out and said we've got a youth mental health crisis. There is a youth mental health crisis. Again, self-esteem, important work they're doing. CDC came out with data that is absolutely mind-boggling, that our kids are, you know, about 48-49% are depressed, anxious, thinking of committing suicide or have committed suicide. It's unbelievable. So this is why I'm saying we need to do the work on ourselves so that we can help these children as well.
Right. And I want to give you some good news here. My producer just added 10 minutes because we really wanted to hear a little more from you. And I personally wanted to hear you talk about grieving the relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Grieving the relationship is one of those kind of things that okay. A lot of times with a relationship, when it's over, if it's not because of a force majeure, it's not because of a death or that sort of thing, which is always very difficult as well. I'm talking about the relationship really in love, but it could be family as well. When you sort of, when a relationship ends, whether it be a family member, whether it be a husband, a wife, any relationship, one of the most important things that we have to remember is we have to grieve that relationship. And grieving, you know, takes on, for everyone, it looks different. Some people are just going to be really stoic about it and not think about it and shove it down. And I will tell you, one of the most important things that I have learned, and it's, you know, proves itself time over time, is everything that is shoved down, you can shove it down as much as you want and for as long as you want. And just like Jack in the Box, one of those days it's going to pop up. And you're going to have to deal with it because something's going to trigger and it's going to come back up if you're not dealing with it as you go. Happened to me last year, for example. Kind of relationship came out of the blue, and it was a whirlwind and lovely and something I had experienced in many years. So, you know, when life presents love, you want to really embrace that. And then one day it was over, from one day to the next. And there were some, you know, some red flags, but when you're in love, they look a little more pink than red. I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody that's listening, but, you know, when you're in love, those red flags, sometimes they look a little pinky instead. So you have to be careful, you know, we have to be really careful. Long story short is I took the time. I knew that it was going to be, it was so painful that, you know, I let myself do the grieving. And that meant if I needed to cry, I cried. If I needed to rest, I rested. If I needed to, you know, pay more attention, I knew when it was the moment to spend an extra hour or two working, I was able to go a little bit more with the flow of allowing myself to grieve. It is that important. So do that. The other thing that I like to bring up is the betrayal trauma, which is which is when you find out not only that it's over, but it's over because you've been betrayed. And that's happened to me also some years ago. And that is devastating because the betrayal trauma, of course, it's always with your best friend, isn't it? I don't know what that is. It's always with your best friend, Janice. And it wasn't funny at the time, but I can kind of, you know, giggle about it now. And that obviously is a double whammy. So, look, you're going to say get those tools in the shed. I don't know if there's anything that can ever really prepare you for that. But here's what I will say. It wasn't about you. That doesn't mean you're perfect. And doesn't mean, you know, I'm sure you did everything for the relationship you could have. It wasn't about you. Because if somebody is that, you know, that dishonest, if somebody is that propense to be out of the relationship, if they start deviating from the relationship, it's because they want out of the relationship. And they may want out of the relationship only because it's, they don't want a commitment. They don't want to be locked down. That whatever the reason is, okay, it's not about you that they want out. And that's an important thing that you need to understand, because they're probably telling you every day how much they love you. And you believe them. And they probably do love you. They just don't want to commit to a relationship. It's two different things. Two different things. And that is wherein you start to understand, the human psyche, if you will. He did love you. I'm sure he did. And every word he said was true. What he probably wasn't doing was projecting much into the future. And might have said, so there's those red flags I'm talking about. So what are we doing next year for a summer vacation? You know, when are we going to buy that new house? When do you think about having another baby? You know, those kinds of things. Pay attention to the answer to those questions. If you're not, look, if you're in a toxic relationship, you'll know. And that's on you. Again, the courage and the tenacity that it will take for you to stand strong in your stead with those tools that I've been talking about. That's where, you know, and the tools can be that having a really strong support system around you, making sure that you're journaling. Journaling is so deep and it's so incisive, taking the time just to get things out on paper so that you can understand where you are today, where you want to be tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, you can read what you wrote yesterday and watch your progress is really, really satisfying. I'd also talk about mirror therapy. So it's the weirdest thing in the world, and it feels really crazy. But mirror therapy, I learned of it first from Louise Hayes and her works. Louise Hayes was, really the grandmother, if you will, of the New Age, of New Age publishing, of publishing New Age authors and people that speak about, personal development and self-help. And then Jack Canfield, who's, part of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. Chicken Soup for the Soul, yeah. And so he used it, mirror therapy, in his works as well. It was good enough for them. It was good enough for me. And it was funny because, I was going back to my mother never wanting to have a picture taken of her. And she used to say to me as I was a child, "What are you looking in the mirror for? Are you waiting for a monkey to jump out? What are you looking in the mirror for? Yeah, you're waiting for a monkey to jump out?" And I thought that was rather curious. And then, of course, I went on to work as a model where we're doing a lot of work in the mirror. We're prepping, we're primping, we're doing a lot of things. So funny that. But, doing the mirror therapy is something else, Janice, that is an exercise in self-love. And it's going to feel weird. It's going to feel strange. You're probably going to want to do it when nobody else is around or shut the bathroom door or whatever. But you start with a minute, start with 5 minutes. Go in with the affirmations that I have in my book, because my book is really a manual. And for me, it's a mission and a movement, because I want to see everyone live as an esteemed being. But it's a manual. In that manual, there are all kinds. Every chapter has its clarion call, Clarissa's corner, affirmations, a case study, review, homework. It's a manual. It's a book that's really going to, you're not going to read about self-esteem. You're going to do self-esteem. It's a whole different thing. And so get in front of that mirror and saying, "I love you. I forgive you. I'm so proud of you. You did such a great job with that presentation." The things that, nobody else is telling you. few people may be saying, let's put it that way. You really need to be, you know, giving yourself that little rah-rah session. It changes you. It does. It's a strengthening exercise.
And I can attest to that. Mary Kay, I've been in Mary Kay for 27 years.
Oh, yes, and, the pink Cadillac.
Yes, and I've been up there, director, senior director, all that, but my age limited me to go on to national. But they study the mirror therapy. Mm-hmm. And I'll mm-hmm. tell you, Clarissa, I can't say it enough that I was not ready for directorship, for leadership, and that mirror therapy works wonders. And
yeah.
I'm happy to say, you know, 27 years later,
yeah.
a few cars, all the accolades
yep.
and the awards I've
yep.
won was due to that beginning training of the mirror therapy and how to speak
oh, yeah.
in front of people, which
yeah.
led me to being on the air now for 10 years speaking,
yeah.
which I never
yeah.
would have done before that. So that is a very interesting chapter. But let's take
how
one
exciting.
More question.
Sure.
It's from Paula C. from Wichita Falls, Texas, and she's just asking, what are the signs of emotional intelligence and how is it measured?
Well, emotional intelligence are the triggers. It's catching yourself with the things that trigger you, catching yourself. So you know what triggers you. You know somebody's pushing your buttons. You know exactly where you something really annoys you or irks you, and you could go off. And for me, it just make me feel like I haven't done enough for you. Give me that, you know, that one little bit that you're still going to be complaining or making a remark that I haven't already done enough. I think I bring this from my childhood and I bring it from my mother. You know, it was never enough, damn, no matter what I did. It was never enough. Instead of, you know, the affirmation, the accolade, oh, you know, how lovely job you did. You know, good job. Good job. That's a whole new thing. We never heard that when we were kids, right? So
yeah.
those triggers, which I'm telling you a personal one of mine, those are the triggers that you need to learn, you need to own, and you need to work on. Okay? You need to, again, when I said, be really careful. Don't give anybody that power to be able to trigger you. You know, stand strong again. Standing really strong, standing really firm, and knowing that, you know, my 8-year-old self, had I known at the time, I would have stood there and just thought to myself, well, I know I've done enough, and I know I'm, you know, I'm good with myself. I'm fine. So today, you know, it's really difficult that anybody can trigger me with anything because I know that I have, you know, worked on my triggers. I have identified them. I put them in their proper place and know that let me put it to you this way. We have heard, how many times have we heard, I am enough. I am enough. We are enough. She's
yeah.
enough. We are, everybody's enough. Well, Janice, I looked up the definition of enough, and enough is only as much as is required.
Ooh.
So by definition, enough isn't enough, is it? Enough is not enough by definition. So
that should be the title of your next book, Enough
right.
Isn't Enough.
Exactly. So the definition, ladies and gentlemen, for a moving up is not enough. And so the new mantra is now, I am so much more than enough.
Mm.
I am so much more than enough. And getting back to the emotional intelligence and the triggers, when you know, now, we always want to be open for some constructive criticism because that is what will help us grow, right? But at the same time, I knew I was doing enough. It was really the shortcomings of someone else, their shortcomings of thinking I wasn't doing enough, right? So be really, really careful and really super mindful with what you are telling your subconscious as well, your subconscious as well. And that is, if you continue to say, I'm not enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not intelligent, and I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I'm not enough, your subconscious is going to believe you, right? So
yeah.
Be telling your subconscious. That's why we do the affirmation. People say, affirmations don't work. Yeah, they do. They do say them, and they do if you say them a lot, and they do if you say them. Go into the mirror and start saying them. And look at yourself. There are two ways to approach a mirror, Janice. You can look at a mirror, or you can look into the mirror. When I'm doing my hair and my makeup, I'm looking at the mirror. When I'm looking into the mirror, I'm looking into my eyes, and that, I'm telling you, it goes right into your soul.
Yeah.
And when you look into that mirror and you're looking into the eyes, as you just attested, and you say to yourself, you are amazing. You are so strong. You are so intelligent. You really knocked it out of the ballpark. I am so proud of you. It does something to your soul. It does something to your subconscious. And I'm telling you, it works. So be careful again with the emotional intelligence. It is all about what you will and will not accept, what you will and will not allow to be triggered, okay, that will allow you to be triggered. And just be really mindful of that. Work on those things.
Yes. Well, we're almost out of time, but I have to take this last quick question because he sent it several times.
Okay.
And it's from Joy. No, it's from John. I'm sorry. John L. from Atlanta, Georgia. And he is just asking, what year did you win Survivor?
Okay. Well, first of all, it was not American Survivor. It was Italian Survivor. So I lived in Italy for 30 years, and I worked on television in Italy. So it was Italian Celebrity Survivor. We were in Nicaragua, and the year was 2010. And I was on the island for about, I'm going to say, it's a little shy of 3 months. And I lost 20 pounds, Janice. It was the greatest thing.
Jeez.
Oh, it was so good. You just don't.
Well, that's an accomplishment, regardless of where it was. And I love Italy, so. But, Clarissa,
yeah.
I think your book would make an awesome Christmas gift for so many people, especially granddaughters, daughters, young girls, so much more. And I really am going to push that. And I thank you so much, and I'm glad we were able to take the extra 10 minutes because we really wanted to hear from you today.
Thank you,
hope
you
didn't infringe on your time.
Well, you've been so kind again. Terribly sorry about the disconnect in the beginning, but I think we got a lot of great information in.
Yes, we did, and I'm looking forward to your book. So real quickly again, if someone wants to continue to ask questions, where can they reach you?
You can find me anywhere on social media, Clarissa Burt, pretty much everywhere. I am not on Snapchat, but anywhere else you can find me.
Okay, great. Well, we thank you, and I'll be in touch with you soon. I thank you for your time and for sharing our extra time, and I thank my producer for doing this.
Yes,
this was important.
You.
We don't normally do this, but this was important today. So thank you so much.
Thank you kindly.
And you stay safe and have a wonderful weekend.
Be well. Be well, all. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I am so excited. That was Dame Clarissa Burt. And we are allowed to give a few minutes, and since she had trouble connecting, we wanted to do that. So I hope you got a lot out of this wonderful presentation today. And next week, we're going to have author Wayne Faulkner on, and he's going to be talking about his book, Transforming Your Mindset, A Conversation with Personal Development. He's an expert on that, and we look forward to that author next week, next Friday, and it'll be regular time. We can't keep extending. This was a special occasion today for this awesome author. Don't forget, also, a few weeks ago we had Beth Grunt on, and The Next Great Step is her book on Amazon. And that's something you want to learn about from college to Korea, it's very important, especially during the school years. So thank you all for being patient, for listening to the 10 extra minutes. I am so excited. I can't wait to read that book. I realized as she was speaking, we have a lot in common, and I am looking forward to that. So until next week, stay safe. You know they're saying COVID is back again, so keep your distance, wash your hands, you know, do everything you can to protect yourself, even if it's wearing a mask again. But just stay safe. Have a wonderful weekend. And until next week, I will see you on the radio. Be safe. I got the eye of the tiger.